on today's Compassion Radio.
It's rather sad to say that the United States is being de-Christianized the same rate as China is being Christianized.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. This is the daily ministry broadcast journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Well, you've probably heard the expression that goes something like this: what was old is now new again. Today, Bram welcomes back a friend we hold in very high regard. And the very discussion centers around bedrock topics like gospel living, the life of Billy Graham, and the Great Commission. Lots to get to today, so let's throw it back to head producer Bram Floria as he continues with the second day of conversation with our guest, David Aikman.
David, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
So the open forum, the Mars Hill of this generation, of course, is Facebook and Twitter and other places where every citizen can sound off.
Right.
But every speaker's corner, every philosopher's park in the history of mankind has eventually distilled down to those who were committed enough to stay the course and be there and to continue the dialogue over time.
Right.
Where are those places now for us where we can actually engage with our fellow man in a way that's constructive? And how do we find the narrative, rediscover it for ourselves so that we can speak something positive into our society around us?
Well, I think one should start with some of the achievements of moral conservatives in this country. The argument against abortion has basically been won by the opponents of abortion, who have so dramatically illustrated what happens to babies in their mother's womb when they are being aborted, and demonstrating the horror of the murder that's taking place. So that is an example of when you expose a particular problem to the light of real investigation, you are able to persuade people.
Yet the law and the media itself has not yielded the point.
That's true. The media in general still holds to the legalistic interpretation of Roe versus Wade and is in favor of the most loose interpretation of any kind of restrictions on abortion. But I think there are changes taking place.
Okay.
There may be other areas. For example, you remember how Mothers Against Drunk Driving really cut down the amount of deaths in traffic accidents from people who were driving drunk and forced laws to be changed.
That's true.
To make it really serious.
And that is making an actual impact on many strata of our nation. Different interest groups have coalesced around this issue.
Indeed. And I think where you could also start is Mothers Against Stoned Teenagers, pointing out the real danger of people who allow themselves to get high on substances. Because if you start with marijuana, there is a very good chance that you will progress to far more harmful substances, and you will really be a menace to society. So focusing on these smaller issues is a way to start. Just like in the 1990s, the police commissioner for New York under Rudy Giuliani started to cut down on crime by nipping at the edges of small crime.
Yes.
For example, jumping over turnstiles to get into the subway. And the old sort of broken window syndrome.
Right.
If you go through an area where there are broken windows, crime is going to be higher. So you start nipping at the edges of these sort of so-called minor social problems. You can throw light on the far deeper consequences of the serious flaws that are the expressions of these social problems.
Let me toss out a thought to you, see if it has any merit. You would be a much better judge of this than I would be. It seems that progressives, to the most liberal end of things, the most relativistic worldview that's out there, has a very strident legalism of its own.
Right.
And there's another kind of moral, unambiguous, black and white kind of legalism from the far right.
Right.
It seems to me that they are both complete aberrations in that they do not truly see the world as it is or make provision for humans to live within it or to have any agreement or disagreement and to work through relationships. Is that why these two ends are not touching? Because they have abandoned where the potential for grace and for relationship and love and community exist?
Well, I think a reluctance to admit to the reality of God's grace affects both left and right. But I think we're dealing with different parts of the problem. The left basically wants everybody to do everything they want, whenever they want, regardless of social consequences. And, you know, it goes back to the old 1960s brick, if it feels good, do it. Mm-hmm. The right sometimes wants to, I would say, much less than it used to, wants to restrict social behavior in order to create a morally good environment by restrictions through law and other administrative measures. But I don't think the danger of the right is nearly as great as the danger of the left, because the mantra of freedom trumping all things is what has created a climate of license and excess that has dramatically lessened the moral virtue of our society.
Fair enough. Now, I want to turn a corner now because I'm going to bridge between the current political and moral issues of our nation to pivot towards where God is doing incredible work and that we are focused as a ministry on around the world, specifically this month in China. But there is one witness to those two worlds that has spoken truth to both over decades of his life that is one of the great thinkers of our last two centuries. And that's a man that you know personally, I understand, Billy Graham.
Right.
And he has a foot firmly planted in heaven. There's no doubt about that. But he has a hand of love and a foot planted on this earth. It still seems to me like he's wanting to save and win as many as possible to bring them across with him. Tell me about his life and what he's had to say about these issues morally and politically in nations around the world.
Well, one of the remarkable facets of Billy Graham's life is that he has been so consistent in his objective and in his personal lifestyle and his personal goals. I had the privilege of writing a biography of Billy Graham called Billy Graham, His Life and Influence. We put his life as an evangelist in the context of the world that he lived in and did so much to influence. And I think it's quite an interesting introduction to the life of a remarkable man.
And timely. As long as God allows him to be here on this earth, we want to celebrate the work that he continues to do through Billy Graham. Is that book available on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
So again, the title is
Billy Graham, His Life and Influence
by David Aikman. Folks, look that one up when you have a chance.
The Lord spoke to Billy Graham, you know, through his heart when he was about 18, telling him he wanted him to be an evangelist. And he started his life as an evangelist. He broke into instant national fame in the 1949 Billy Graham Greater Los Angeles Crusade. He then went to England in the first of his foreign travels in 1954. He astonished everybody by bringing an awful lot of English people who at that time were kind of cynical and depressed back to the gospel. And then he repeated his evangelistic travels all over the world. Now, he was very good at what he did, there's no question.
Yes.
And of course, the Lord obviously was making it possible for him to do all this. But at several points in his life journey, he was offered the temptation of doing something just slightly different. For example, in the 1950s, as I show in my book, many people wanted him to run first Senate and then president. Later on, of course, he turned them down. But in fact, he turned down somebody who offered to put $6 million in his bank account if he'd run for president by saying, if I did that, my wife would divorce me, which I think is a very sort of outspoken and honest comment.
Great stories and insights about the Reverend Billy Graham from our guest today, Dr. David Aikman. And we'll get right back to the discussion after this very important word from our fearless leader, Dr. Norm Nelson.
There's one thing that I believe you want to do very much in this year. You want to bring somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, instead of agonizing over that objective, instead of feeling guilty about procrastinating concerning that desire, why don't you just take my advice and get the job done right now? How can you do that? Well, you can give Bibles to people in China who are hungry to read God's Word. Listen to this. For every Bible that is distributed in China, five, count them, five people come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What could be a better investment than that? Now, during this month, we're providing you the opportunity and the privilege to send Bibles to China through our annual Operation God's Word campaign.
And Norm, for as little as $6, one Bible can be placed into the hands of a Chinese Christian who's requesting one. $60 provides 10 Bibles. $300 provides 50 Bibles. $600 provides 100 Bibles. And $1,200 provides 200 Bibles.
Oh, my friend, during this year-end season, you can give the greatest gift of all, the Word of God. And you can give God's Word to Christians in China who are changing the world's most populous nation through the message of the gospel contained in that book.
Miracles are happening in China right now through the power of God's Word. You can help make that happen. For as little as $6, you can place a copy of God's Word, the Bible, into the hands of a Chinese believer who's desperate for his or her own copy. $60 provides 10 Bibles. $90 provides 15 Bibles, and so on. Call today, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our address, Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're online at CompassionRadio.com. Your gifts will help us deliver Bibles to Pastor Daniel in China for Christmas gifts for his believers. And if you would like to give your gift in someone's name, call and request a gift certificate to give to that person at Christmas commemorating your gift in their name. We'll get you that address and phone number again at the close of the program. Right now, back to Bram's interview with Dr. David Aikman.
But then later on, people were trying to get him to run brand new large Christian universities in places like Florida, where they had land, they said, and millions of dollars to invest in the project. And every time he was offered this possibility, he said, no, I have been called as an evangelist, and evangelism is what I'm going to continue to do. And I think one of the most astonishing lessons of Billy Graham's life as a totality is the consistency of being true to the calling that God has put upon you. He discovered this fairly quickly. Some people take a long time to figure out what their calling is. But if you are true to your calling, you will be far more effective for God than if you scatter yourself in 100 different directions where you may have talent, but God doesn't want you to fritter away your energy.
We face that struggle. It's not a temptation because we're not being thrown millions of dollars every day. But as a ministry, how do we refine ourselves to the calling that he has for us, which is to communicate these kind of truths to the Western church and help them to engage with the Eastern church in ways that transform both? And that's where we sit. We're at that crossroads between cultures and movements within Christianity. And it's a very humbling place to be because we are so inspired by those who are on the front lines, being the Billy Grahams of this century in countries that are emerging as real powerhouses of the gospel.
Right.
So what would, if you could put words in Billy Graham's mouth, what do you think he would be telling us right now about believing for, hoping for, praying for the future?
But I think he would ask us to cast our eyes upon those parts of the world where the Christian gospel is producing incredible fruit in terms of the number of followers and in the transformation of the country. And one of the places he would point to is a country which he was very familiar with through his wife, Ruth, namely China.
Yes.
China has been going through the most extraordinary Christian surge for about the last 40 years.
Not in small part because of your writing about this issue have we become passionate about it as well. And that's why our project this month is about Bibles for China.
I hope I've been able to contribute a little to people's knowledge of what is going on there, because I was privileged to see firsthand in many parts of China the amazing changes that were happening, not just in people's lives, but in entire communities. It's rather sad to say that the United States is being de-Christianized the same rate as China is being Christianized. When I wrote my book, Jesus in Beijing, I projected that China might be a significantly Christianized country by about 2040. What do I mean by significantly Christianized? I don't mean the majority of the population. I mean about 25%. You only need 25%.
That's a very large active group.
Yes, of any country, to change education, the judiciary, politics, justice, and everything else. And that is happening in China. The challenge is that the Communist Party knows that the more influential the Christian faith becomes, the less interested ordinary Chinese will be in the Communist Party ideology, not to mention their leadership.
Yes.
And so they're absolutely frantically trying to suppress the possibilities of Christian growth all over the country by new regulations and by demolition of churches,
yes,
the taking down of church crosses and so forth. It's a dramatic effort to stamp out something that they know threatens them and which they can't control.
It seems to me as a badge of honor, kind of like the Nasrani and becoming the symbol of Christianity for the Middle East now.
That's right.
It's a symbol of suffering.
That's right, yes.
The symbol of vibrant Christianity in China for me now is smoldering crosses in the mud.
Yes, yes. I mean, since 2014, the Chinese government has been literally bulldozing churches, some of them the size of European cathedrals,
yes,
smashing them into the mud, taking down thousands of crosses from their top churches.
Christianity, it would be helpful probably for our listeners to understand again that Christianity is parceled out in China, is partially public and sanctioned. Some of it is Catholic in tradition, and a lot of it is the underground or house church movement. They all have a very large footprint across the country, but it seems to me that all three are now in some ways under assault.
And generally, yes, that's true. I mean, the government-sponsored Free Self Patriotic Church, which is a Communist Party-controlled umbrella organization that administers the whole of Protestant Christianity in China, is even persecuting its own churches by demanding that they take down large crosses or demolish large structures. So that shows you that even Communist Party-controlled parts of the church structure are a threat to their own monopoly of power.
Now, we would make an assumption that the progression would be towards freedom and then towards faith, because that's been our experience. We are a free nation. We are free to believe what we want. Then we choose. Now, we had heard from Brother Andrew's organization over the years that some of the greatest spiritual growth happening in the Middle East was happening inside terrorist cells, that as Hamas and other leaders would experience the gospel, they became literally secret agents within organizations and were winning souls and holding Bible studies behind closed doors right in the heart of where terrorism is raging against the world. It seems to me that if we have an expectation that China must become politically and legally free before the church can truly come into its own, that we're missing the point, that we already have 100 million insurgents in there, secret agents. I get the feeling that there are an awful lot of believing, powerful, praying, visionary Christians that are already active within the system. Is that true?
I think it is. I mean, I have met very senior Chinese Communist Party members who are believers, some of them actually quite open and even tolerated within the small environment of their particular part of the party. But what the party is terrified of is that religious freedom, and in fact, the expansion of the gospel in different parts of China, will lead to the creation of a civil society that will completely overwhelm Communist Party control. They are terrified of this. And that is why they are always denouncing in official publications and editorials the whole notion of civil society. The idea that there could be any group of people in a country that is outside the control of the political authorities is completely anathema to them and is seen as a real threat. So they stamp it out whenever they can.
And they're attacking the symbols, of course.
Of course, yes.
Do they really believe that in attacking the church's presence within a city, that they're really truly going to stamp out the passion of the gospel?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer. One response is that some of the Chinese Communist Party obviously do believe that. They do believe that if you make it so difficult for Christians to express their faith by putting up crosses or building large churches or attending large meetings, they'll make it so inconvenient for Christians to be open about their faith that everybody will come round to acknowledge the dominance and monopoly of the Communist Party. But the party members who are much more savvy, and especially the ones who've traveled abroad a great deal, know that this is absolute folly. You are not going to be able to stamp out Christianity by trying to erase the symbols of Christian faith wherever you find them. And furthermore, the more you do that, the more you will create a number of followers of the gospel who wouldn't have been there before you'd started doing that. So it's a suicidal process for the Communist Party, which they don't really understand.
David, do you mind if we carry this over to one more segment? Because I'd like to ask you about some of the threats the church faces and to go back to some of your predictions for where the church is going by the mid part of this century. Are you available for us for one more show?
Yes, I am.
Right.
Certainly.
Thank you. Again, David Akeman, journalist extraordinaire, author, college professor, and a man of God. We're thankful to have him with us again on Compassion Radio to renew this long-term friendship. We'll be back tomorrow with the next episode.
As we wind things down for today, a word now from Cher Nelson.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. The pastor shepherd of thousands of house churches to whom our Bibles are going to go has asked if we could get the Bibles to him in time this year to give to people at Christmas. Well, we're delighted to do so, but now we hope that your Christmas spirit is available this early to make that possible. For $6, you can place a Bible in the hands of a Christian family who is just aching for one. We know that for every Bible we place, and there are other members in the family who will have access to that Bible, that there will be four or five people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20,000 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day, so we know how great the need is. Now, can you get in your Christmas spirit, and can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you year after year, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. And as you probably know, we also believe that that is the only answer to terrorism and Islamization, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We depend 100% on listeners like you to carry out our calling. And in a very real sense, this is your ministry. Whatever is done through Compassion Radio is what you make possible. I'm asking you, send your best gift today. It is tax deductible. And Compassion Radio is a member in good standing of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's important because that certification is your guarantee that we meet the highest standards of financial integrity. Thanks so much, my friend, for standing with us here at Compassion Radio.
for as little as $6. You can place a copy of God's Word, the Bible, into the hands of a Chinese believer who's desperate for his or her own copy. $60 provides 10 Bibles, $90 provides 15 Bibles, and so on. Call today, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our address, Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always pay us a visit at our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. Before we go, we consider it a privilege to share God's Word with you and stories of Christ's accomplishments here each day. The Lord has allowed us to partner together and minister the good news and compassion of Jesus Christ. Toward that end, your financial support right now will determine the future of Compassion Radio here in this area. Your involvement means the world to us. Thanks again for your support. Our toll-free number, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address once again, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And online, as always, at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Dr. Norman Chair Nelson, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio.